Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I saw this KTVQ television story. I think I mentioned it yesterday. Here's the headline. People pack commissioner's public comment on Metro Park Detention Center letter. And it's like, man, you just look at some of the photographs of a lot of the people that were in that room. And it's like, oh, these are all these, you know, George Soros funded group, left wing activist types. This was the defund ICE crowd that does not want to see illegal aliens deported. Anyway, we've got Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morris here with us in studio. Commissioner, great to see you.
Well, good morning, Aaron, to you and your listeners.
Yeah, so I saw this letter last week. We were down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and so we mentioned it on the show while John Jackson and I were down there. Congressman Ryan Zinke also shared your letter as well, and Congressman Zinke said this, round them up, send them home. Montana stands ready to execute the president's directive and remove the criminal illegal aliens from our communities and send them back home to their countries of origin. Anyway, I just like the fact that you as a local official are saying, hey, look, we're here to help. We're here to help secure our communities and defend our communities and get these criminal illegal aliens out of here. So I think that message is being heard in Washington, thankfully.
So, Aaron, you're correctly right. I'm talking about the criminal illegal aliens. As you well know, the president has declared an emergency at the southern border. And we all know we have cartel members here in the state of Montana, in Yellowstone County, in Billings, on the surrounding reservations. I have worked on a crime problem for the last 2 years since I became a commissioner. We all know this is going on. We have fentanyl deaths. That's the fentanyl that's coming across the wide open southern border. You have the cartel members hiding on your reservation, bringing the drugs into Billings. This is a way to say to the federal government, we need your help. If you come here, we will help you.
That's right. Yeah. And there's, you know, I'm sure there's other communities that are looking at the same thing. Maybe, you know, if you're in Butte and you're saying, hey, should we use the Civic Center or is there another ideal location? Some people, I think, were under this mistaken impression that you would turn the Metro Park into this long term detention facility. That's not the concept at all whatsoever.
That's correct, Aaron. It is not the concept. I don't want to have a detention center, that long-term detention center down there. My vision is that this is a transitory processing center so that if federal law enforcement comes in, does a sweep, they arrest these people, they have somewhere to process them before they put them on the plane and send them wherever they're going to go.
I mean, frankly, it wouldn't even need to be indoors. You could set up tents on the demolished old,
grandstands.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you could set up tents out there with heaters if needed or whatever. But this is just saying, hey, here's a place where you can hold these people very temporarily before you ship their you-know-what's out of here. Well, we'll talk more with Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morris here right after the quick break. Take your phone calls as well, 294-0970. Back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from the lower 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures fall off to around 10 in Bozeman, staying in the mid-20s in Billings. Then with more sunshine Thursday, highs around 40 in Bozeman to near 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Before settling down with a partner, there's a variety of financial red flags to be aware of that could cost you in the long run, not only with your relationship, but your finances as well. Those red flags include a partner's finances, from how secret they are about their money and how they spend it to how much debt they've incurred. Financial experts at Wells Fargo say it's something that couples should discuss as they embark on important milestones like going on vacation, signing a lease, buying a home, or getting hit. ditched. The biggest red flag is financial secrecy. So it's important that some talk topics that you have with your partner include how he or she spends their money, views on investing, and even debt. Raising these topics will provide clues on their relationship with money as you move from the initial early stages of dating all the way into making a more permanent commitment in the future, like sharing expenses, commingling finances, joint ownership of assets, and marriage. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Are you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I kind of gave my thoughts on this yesterday. I think the sensational response, the over-the-top, exaggerated response we're seeing from people and from the media to this offer to allow, you know, part of Metropark to be used as a quick processing center to help ICE get these illegal aliens out of here. The over-the-top, exaggerated, sensationalized response is so similar to the absurd storyline that they're going to deport Native Americans. Oh, for Pete's sake, get out of here. But Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morris, again, I said it. Look, I just appreciate the fact that we've got leadership in Yellowstone County, Montana, that are saying, hey, we're here to help get these illegal aliens out of here. And you just documented several of the reasons why. Describe, though, just what the initial concept was here. Because all these people that are freaking out saying, oh, they'd cancel events at the Metro. Oh, no, they would not. Come on. We've used the Metro for all sorts of various things. We've housed people that were victims of floods. It's designed to be used for a whole bunch of different things.
That's correct, Aaron. You know, we just spent about $30 million of ARPA funds to rebuild Metro. And the reason we were allowed to use ARPA funds is because the federal government recognized that that's where it's a gathering place for any type of emergency, for a national disaster. If you have wildland firefighters and they need a place to stay. I've heard for 2 years nothing but about the crime problem in Yellowstone County. Our detention center is not only at capacity, we're 200 inmates over. We have a contract with the federal government to take prisoners. So if there's a federal law enforcement action, if they were to come in, arrest a bunch of criminal illegals, sure, the sheriff could maybe take a couple of those at the facility. But there is no, we have no ability at the detention center to house them there. So I thought, I'm previous law enforcement. I know that after you arrest somebody, you have to process them. And I thought Metro's the place to do that.
Well, and look at how quickly they're getting these people out of the country. I mean, with less than a week, they're rounding these people up and they're sending them home. I just saw there's a flight going to Ecuador right now. We all saw the flights that they tried to turn around from Colombia that quickly got sent right back to Colombia. There's flights going to Brazil. There's flight. So, again, people, like, this was an offer letter. And I think it's just, I think there's some people that are deliberately trying to fan the flames of faux outrage on this because they want to undermine President Trump's effort to get these criminal illegals out of this country. And it's the, and that's why you see the same phony George Soros-funded group activists with their fake phony little protest signs. It's all manufactured. It's AstroTurf. And then they're trying to whip other people into a frenzy. I'll tell you the one thing that really kind of fired me up was a few minutes ago I saw how the Billings Chamber of Commerce, which is very liberal, they're always trying to raise our taxes. The Billings Chamber of Commerce worries that using Metropark could hurt the local economy.
You know what's hurting the local economy? Freaking crime. And all of this, the stories about youth gang activity and drug cartels in this area. Oh, but now all of a sudden you're worried about economic impacts when we're trying to get rid of these illegal aliens. It's just like, okay, you know, come on.
So we could talk about Lake and Riley. We need to deal with the criminal element here in Yellowstone County. We're building a short-term detention facility. We're looking at a jail master plan. But we know that there are cartel members here. President Trump has labeled them a terrorist organization. We just need to work on – that's something we can work on immediately and have an impact this year if it were to happen. You know, anything to do with corrections where you have to build facilities, I mean, that's several years down the road. And what's going to happen at Metra, it's not going to be a long-term detention facility, and there's going to be no county funds used for this. If the government says we'd like to use Metra, we're going to say – it's, the cost is totally on you. We have no funds to do that.
You fund the cost. You have the law enforcement that guards these people. You set up the facility, and then you and the Metro can work together on. So okay, here's what, if this even happened, here's what, how it could be done to still allow other events to move forward, etc. All right. Well, let's go to a quick phone call here. We've got about a minute or so before we get to our next break. Tom in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment?
I do. As a former Coast Guard member and ICE member and an ex-deputy sheriff, I want to ask Mark, you know, I don't see the other commissioners on this letter that you sent. I mean, I want these people out of here, too.
So that's correct. So but, I did this under my own authority as chairman. If Commissioner Oslin or Waters had signed it, it would have required board action under public meeting laws. So this was something that I could send out under my signature. If the federal government was interested, if they reached back to us and said, we want to do this, I would be required to take it to the board, present it to the other two commissioners, say the federal government wants to talk to us. We would have to have a public vote, yes or no, and then if the vote was yes,
right. Then
we could negotiate with the government.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so you just wanted to get this out quick, and you are the chairman. You signed it under your own name.
But...
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Here's what I'm asking. Here's my other question. I mean, did you have a public meeting and discussion?
No, this went out under my signature. There was no. We had no public discussion about it because there was no action to take. I'm trying to get in front of the curve here. I'm trying to reach out to the government and say, our detention center is full. If you're going to do something, if you need space, we want to help you. We got to get this organized on the front end.
All right, I was going to say, we've been discussing this for years, so getting rid of these illegals.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented, because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Luke Bryan is hitting the road this spring on his country song Came On Tour with 30 dates spanning the U.S. The tour kicks off May 29th in Bethel, New York, and runs through late August. Along the way, Bryan will make stops in Hershey, Pennsylvania, Charleston, South Carolina, and Bangor, Maine. Joining Bryan is a rotating list of performers, including Ashlyn Kraft, May Estes, and several others, with DJ Rock locked in for the entire run. Tickets go on sale Friday. You left me to cover up. And musician Zach Bryan kept his word with fans after the longtime Philadelphia Eagles fan dropped a new song, Blue Jean Baby, after their NFC championship win. Brian began by toasting the Eagles' victory over the Commanders 55-23. He wrote, "Birds win out at midnight, see y'all in New Orleans," before casually adding the news, EP and album by the end of the year. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
President Donald Trump's administration is reviewing the Biden administration's grizzly bear management plan. It was released back on January 8th, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposal would consolidate recovery zones into a single distinct population segment across Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and Washington, keeping grizzlies listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Environmental groups backed the plan, but Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho governors, along with hunting and ag groups, opposed the plan. But it was announced this week that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is canceling all public meetings originally scheduled to discuss the Biden bear plan, citing the need for the Trump administration to review the proposal. The public, though, can still submit written comments online through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's website through March 17th. Well, speaking of grizzly bears, the Save the Cowboy group based out of Lewistown will be hosting a public meeting in Lewistown at the Eagles Club on Thursday, February 6th. Topics will include grizzly bear management, with discussions being led by DePuyer rancher Trina Joe Bradley, and the topic of property rights led by Nathan Deshmaker. A social will start at 5 p.m., followed by presentations at 6 at the Eagles Club in Lewistown on February 6th. For more information, visit SaveTheCowboy.net. I'm Wayne Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yellowstone County Commission Chair Mark Morris in the house with us here for a few more minutes here, and then we've got another guest coming up after the 7:35 break. So, Commissioner, yeah, it seems very clear that, you know, look, there's some people who are just asking good questions and raising concerns like, okay, how would this impact events if we do partner with ICE to get these illegal aliens? Those are good questions. Those are questions that the Metro Park Advisory Board and the Metro staff and the commission and other, you know, local folks will all work to address if something like this actually moves forward. But it does seem very clear that we are seeing the resist element here. The same groups that were out there calling to defund the police. I'm already seeing stickers on the Billings South side. I saw it on a light pole Monday. Defund ICE. I mean, this is these radical Democrat Party activists from these Soros-funded groups. I mean, are you kind of seeing that in these Yellowstone County Commission meetings where now all of the left-wing activists, and then some others too, are just showing up? And really, they're trying to undermine President Trump and our efforts to secure this country, to secure our cities, to secure our towns.
So we have seen that people are trying to make more out of this than what it is. I mean, we're trying to lay the groundwork. Federal law enforcement has the absolute right to enforce immigration law. That's their job. They can come in here. They don't need my permission. They don't need anybody's permission. We are trying to help them remove the criminal element, criminal illegals from Yellowstone County, probably some surrounding counties, some reservation land. This needs to happen. We need to get rid of the cartel people. You know, a lot of them are convicted in their home countries of murder, rape, robbery, sex assault, crimes against children. I mean, you go down everything. We don't want those people in our community. And for people to suggest that I'm trying to build a detention center for illegal immigrants is so far from what's going on here. It's the criminal element.
And some of these clowns were referring to it as a concentration camp. Oh, for peace. You're the same people that were probably protesting in downtown Billings with your pro-Hamas Palestinian protests. And, oh, you dare want to bring up the term concentration camp as your side and your activist groups have been promoting the most anti-Semitic garbage that this world has seen in decades? I mean, you give me a break.
So I'm really proud. Yesterday at the commission meeting, there was an 11, 13-year-old boy. He stood up and he testified. And he said, I've listened to what's going on. And he said, I've heard what you're trying to do compared to concentration camps. And he says, you know, I went and looked up concentration camps. I actually saw what they did to people there. And he said, that's not going to happen in America.
Well, yeah, and yeah, not on our watch, but man, with the anti-Semitism we've seen, holy cow. By the way, earlier this week was Holocaust Remembrance Day, and it was the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. I know many of our listeners got a chance to see Eva Kaur and got to meet Eva Kaur, remarkable woman. She was one of the Mengele twins, as they were just horrific experiments on her and her twin sister and so many other, you know, children that were experimented on by these Nazi doctors. But she was just a remarkable woman. Coach Stanton from Billings West High was instrumental in bringing her here as part of his classes. And then, of course, my friend Rocky Erickson was a big part of that, and he took her all across the state to speak. And so anyway, I was thinking of Eva Kaur earlier this week, and I know so many of you got a chance to. In fact, back then, I was on my old radio show at the time, and I think Livin' Large Larry was in this studio at the time, and Livin' Large had Rocky and I come in and talk about Eva Kaur's visit and more. So anyway, yeah, thanks for the reminder about that one. When it just comes to just big picture, what are you hearing from other county commissioners across the state? Because we got folks listening live on the radio in Butte, Bozeman, Livingston right now as well. And, of course, all sorts of counties that are in that coverage area, people on the app. What are you hearing from other local officials across the state who are saying, here's what we got to do, sheriffs, et cetera?
I have received phone calls and emails from local people across the state, and everybody believes this is what has to happen to clean out the criminal element in Montana. And really, that's what, you know, I was elected to do. I ran that I was going to work on the crime problem in Yellowstone County. Here I am trying to work on the crime problem in Yellowstone County, and there are people that apparently don't like that. And and I'm so glad you had me on your show here, because it gives us a chance to have a conversation and for your listeners to understand exactly what it is we're trying to do.
Yeah, if we weren't at the SHOT Show in Vegas, so we would have got you on last week. I probably could have sneaked you on because, yeah, maybe that would have nipped some of this hysteria in the bud a little bit that some people are trying to create. But they're going to try to resist anyway. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to call out the shenanigans, call out their nonsense. But, yeah, the message across every community should be, what can we do to help, Mr. President, because we've got to secure our communities. We've all seen the havoc that has been caused by the Mexican drug cartels and the youth gangs and so much more. All right. Hey, what about this temporary detention facility on a separate? I mean, Commissioner Mark Morris. So separate from this whole conversation about, you know, temporary holding for illegal aliens that are being rounded up by ICE. I mean, just putting that aside for a moment. As you've been saying, look, we've got to deal with the crime problem here in Montana. Obviously, you're trying to do that in Yellowstone County and Billings, and our listeners in Bozeman, they know the drug cartels have been targeting there. They got a whole bunch of folks on ICE holds in the Gallatin County jail as well. And so, but just crime in general. Look, the jail is full. You expanded the jail; it quickly filled up. So I know the county commissioners have been working with the city council on a temporary facility that could dramatically help, and then at least law enforcement can go out and arrest these people instead of just giving them a pass and keeping them out on the streets because there's nowhere to put them. What's the latest on that? I know Scott Aspenlighter, Billings City Councilman, was with us last week in Vegas.
So that's short-term detention facility. That's on schedule. We're looking for it to open kind of October 1st of this year. That'll give the sheriff an additional 75 to 90 beds, depending how it's configured, what his staffing is. It's meant to be a misdemeanor facility, so that gives the police immediate power of arrest. When they go out on a call and they show up, if a crime's been committed, they identify the perpetrator. They have the ability to arrest them. They'll go in. They'll see a judge. We're starting something called the arraignment court. That's the same deal. You get arrested, you see the judge, if not same day, within a day or two, depending on court schedule. But Judge Carter is heading that up. So we're really excited about that. That should actually start, I think, towards the end of February. And let's face it, we're probably going to have some hiccups in the road there. But once that gets moving, that'll be just a great arraignment court. It'll be a great deal. Yesterday, Yellowstone County Commissioners, by resolution, we increased the daily rate for inmates. State has been paying us $82 starting April 1st. We are going to charge $117. The state has the option to either pay that or come get their prisoners, about 50 of them between men and women, out of our facility. The same for the feds. They're currently paying us $85 a day. Effective April 1st, we're unilaterally saying it's $117. That's our actual cost, $117.
And jails across Montana are all struggling with this. You Sheriff Slaughter in Cascade County, and we've talked about it too. So, yeah, and so, at the end of the day, that's why we need to expand our prison capacity here in Montana as well, so that these state inmates aren't just bogging up our county jails. But in the meantime, just like, hey, at the state level, if there's no space for the prisoners in the jail in Deer Lodge, in the prison in Deer Lodge, well, ship them to Arizona if you have to. But the legislature right now, I think they're looking at expanding our prison capacity as they should be. It's been a need for quite some time now. Commissioner Morse, great to see you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Quick break. We're going to talk about federal funding freeze, that whole topic next.
So much.
This is House Call for Health. Nevada's first ever mobile grocery store is opened and will start traveling throughout Las Vegas. Groceries on the Go aims to provide people with more affordable and healthier food options in areas known as food deserts. It partners with United Healthcare Health Plan of Nevada and VA Southern Nevada Healthcare System. Brooke Neubauer is the founder and CEO of the Just One Project.
The bus is going to be in operation and make three stops a day when it's running, so we're so excited. We're going to be serving CCSD school sites, senior centers, community centers, housing agencies. We're going to bring the grocery store to where the people are.
The grocery store is on a school bus, which is donated by the Clark County School District and powered by NV Energy Foundation. It offers a variety of products, from fruits, veggies, and dairy, to dry goods and proteins. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, am I remembering this right? Did they really, was the Biden regime on their way out the door, were they really trying to give $50 million worth of condoms to the Gaza Strip? There's not even 50 million people in the Gaza Strip. Was it 50 million? Yesterday when John Jackson, the Joker from X, was in studio with us, I saw this report from John Solomon with justthenews.com. $15 million for Afghanistan to give out condoms in Afghanistan. Oh, man. Yeah, fear and trembling across the community after that news came out, right? $15 million for condoms in Afghanistan? Look, folks, we can talk about this federal funding freeze, a pause on federal loans and grants. Very clearly, they needed to bring everything to a screeching halt because, man, the insanity of the way our money was being spent and that was going to continue to being spent based on decisions that were already made by the outgoing Biden regime. My goodness, of course they had to bring this to a halt to figure out what. Now, just like I talked in the previous segment, you're seeing this sensationalistic, exaggerating media coverage to try to undermine President Trump's efforts to get the illegal aliens out of our country, especially the hardcore criminal. They're all criminal illegals because they're here illegally. But to get the hardened criminals out first, You know, they're trying to exaggerate their coverage to undermine that efforts. Same thing, I suspect, here when it comes to a pause on federal loans and grants. Look, if you're a law enforcement agency, if you're a Head Start organization, you're going to get your grant money. It's just they're putting a pause in place. I consider it kind of like a safety stand down because of all the craziness that was going on. Anyway, we've got a guest now with us on the phone lines, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio. Nicolee Ambrose is a GOP National Committee woman out of Maryland. She's tackling this topic today. Nicolee, anything I got right or wrong there just in my intro?
You are so spot on. And what a welcome relief. I don't think ever in our lifetime anything like this has happened, where we actually have someone wanting to review how the government is spending our U.S. taxpayer money and actually examining it, right? Of the $10 trillion the federal government disperses of our U.S. taxpayer money, we have $3 trillion of that that goes to grants and loans. And it is much of that is discretionary. And, of course, the president's administration should look into this. And you did a really great job of talking about this crazy 50 million in condoms to Gaza. But other examples are 37 million was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization. Well, let's remember what the World Health Organization did. They tried to cover up COVID and China's involvement. They tried to say China did nothing wrong. And then they just kept taking our money to fund their nonsense. And then if we want to delve down further, and this is my favorite example of why this review is so desperately needed. I was just looking back at stories we had covered on Fox back in May. Remember, we had Anthony Fauci's assistant testify before Congress with corroborating emails about how Anthony Fauci and Dr. David Morans pushed gain-of-function funding, how Fauci told his assistant to make sure the money went to this non-government organization, which took our U.S. taxpayer money to the Wuhan Lab of Virology in China to help develop COVID-19. We absolutely do not need our U.S. taxpayer money funding the next global pandemic.
Yeah, and then the other, you know, major scandal, the one that's just been such a slap in the face to every single American taxpayer is that, okay, so we see the drug cartels, the Mexican drug cartels targeting our communities, killing our people, getting our people addicted to drugs. They target Native Americans at greater rates than they target the rest of our population here in Montana and elsewhere. And yet our taxpayer dollars have been going to these very NGOs that are trafficking people across our southern border. And so they needed to bring this to a halt to also ensure that, hey, we need to make sure that grant money is not funding our own demise and still funding the human trafficking operation that existed on our southern border.
You are so spot on. Once again, let's remember, we do not control our southern border. Mexico does not control our southern border. The drug cartels control our southern border. It is, I would argue, the most inhumane thing we have ever done in our nation's history, because under the Biden administration, we allowed 12 million people to be trafficked across that border. The women are raped. The children are abused, if not raped themselves. And when they get here, they're then indentured servants of the cartels. And it's not just those people's lives that are ruined, but how about all the drugs that are trafficked in to kill our U.S. citizens? And then we have these criminal illegal aliens. We were talking about basically 650,000 with criminal convictions or pending criminal convictions for murder or rape that have been running around this country supposedly with super rapes, because if a U.S. citizen did this, right, we might be thrown in jail, but he might be thrown away. But if you're an illegal that came in under Biden, you have super rights and could seemingly do this with impunity. And so, of course, we don't want to fund these NGOs which say, oh, I'm sorry, let's help you get across, let's help get you, you know, catch and release, let's help get you a new home after you've murdered and killed people and raped people. This is insanity, and I'm so grateful that finally we have a president that says enough with business as usual, let's shake it up and let's make sure we're not spending money just as you said, on things that lead to the demise of America.
Yeah, and even if we didn't have this invasion of illegal aliens and drug cartel operatives over the last 4 years, we're also $36 trillion in debt. So we need to figure out what our money should not be going towards, even for good things, let alone the bad things. Nicolae Ambrose, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second, if you don't mind, because I want you to be able to hear this soundbite, and then I want to get your reaction to it. This is, of course, Stephen Miller, top policy advisor to President Trump since day one. He was on CNN with Jake Tapper, and really, as our friend John Jackson pointed out on X, he schooled Jake Tapper on a number of fronts. The first point that Stephen Miller made was, look, no direct payments are impacted by this freeze. So if you get Medicaid funds, if you veteran benefits, if you know, any direct payments like that continue, Social Security, it all continues to move forward. So this is loans and grants through the federal government. And then he added this.
We found after the president had issued a pause on funding to NGOs that were settling illegal immigrants, we found that bureaucrats at HHS were trying to funnel billions more dollars to those resettlement agencies and try to get around the executive order. It became clear that bureaucrats were still trying to funnel unapproved discretionary grants of funds to their pet projects. So OMB, led by Russ Vogt, felt it was necessary to protect taxpayer resources to issue clearer guidance establishing for these discretionary grants of funding that are not directed by Congress, but they go through a political approval process at the agency.
So there you go. Yeah, to the point that we covered, Stephen Miller absolutely nailed it there. And all of these groups are now freaking out. Oh, where are we going to get our funds to bring in our so-called refugees? Well, the refugees, what we're finding is a lot of them have not been vetted and are not true refugees like the program was initially and had always been designed to be for. They're basically slapping a refugee label on somebody who's basically just an illegal alien.
Right. And Stephen Miller, there's two things I want to highlight from that. One, he kept using the word discretionary. Discretionary is a very distinct and important word in the federal lexicon, right? That it's not money that Congress said, this must be used to, fund Biden's, presidential library. Haha, that's a joke. But this is discretionary means that the management gets to determine how that money is spent. It might be allocated, but you get to determine how it's spent. So obviously, if, New York is doing a study saying there's 54 genders, no, there's 102 genders, and the president just signed an order on biological truth, and there are two sexes, male and female, that is discretionary money that should not be used because it's not in line with President Trump's executive order in those specific directives.
Great points all around. Nicolae Ambrose, I got to hit a break here, and then we've got another guest coming up right after this. But, hey, greatly appreciate your time this morning. If people want to follow you on X or hear more of your great commentary, how do we follow you?
At Nicolae Ambrose on X, and check out my YouTube podcast, All American Talk Show.
All right, awesome. Well, great to catch up with you here this morning on Montana Talks. Appreciate your insight, some great information. I've got the soundbite too of Caroline Leavitt talking about that $50 million to fund condoms in Gaza. Maybe we'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. All right, thanks again, Nicolae Ambrose. Coming up after this, there is going to be an incredible memorial on display at Montana State University, I think next week. Wait till you hear about this.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab nitro cold brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
The CIA is finally acknowledging COVID most likely leaked from a Chinese lab. Took them long enough. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What are the two active volcanoes on mainland Europe called?
Is Vesuvio one of them?
Vesuvius and Etna.
How'd you do
exactly?
Things get tougher, so hang on.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did. Thank you for taking the quiz.
I'm old enough to remember when simply questioning COVID origins was grounds for social media ridicule and censorship. But at last, the CIA has finally come around to the notion many of us suspected all along. COVID most likely leaked from a Chinese lab. The agency added they have low confidence in their own conclusion, which is rather perplexing. But either way, this revelation is not the result of any new findings or evidence. The report was actually completed under Joe Biden and former CIA Director William Burns. It just wasn't released. In yet another act of transparency, Trump's CIA Chief John Ratcliffe declassified that report and released it shortly after being sworn in for the role. All of this to say, perhaps those of us who are skeptical of the Chinese wet market COVID origin theory should be given a big fat apology from the big tech tyrants. It's our right to question the narrative, and turns out we're usually right. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from the lower 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures fall off to around 10 in Bozeman, staying in the mid-20s in Billings. Then with more sunshine Thursday, highs around 40 in Bozeman to near 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Go to yhic.com to find out how.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I noticed our phones were ringing at 6:06 this morning. And it's rare that we get a call right out the gates, right at 6:06 in the morning. So I was wondering what the call was. I'm so glad Jesse Albrecht out of Belgrade, Montana, called our producer, Caden. I'm so glad Caden put this on our schedule here this morning. This is absolutely incredible. But we got a note from Jesse Albrecht in Belgrade. I am writing because I need help to spread the word about the Eyes of Freedom Memorial, which honors Lima Company 325, which lost 22 Marines and a Navy corpsman during their 2005-2006 Iraq deployment. Belgrade's Nicholas Bloom is honored in this with a life-sized portrait. A bronze sculpture honors all who served and are on the long road home. The memorial will be on display at Ballroom A in the Montana State University Student Union from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. February 3rd through the 5th. No charge or tickets required. So this is the Eyes of Freedom Memorial that will soon be on display at MSU in the Student Union building. Jesse, thanks so much for calling in and promoting this event. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, thanks so much for having me. I just want to reach out, and I know there's so many people that have served that care about our country, our nation, and our community. And, you know, I've lived in the Gallatin Valley area for about 15 years, and I was just staggered that I didn't know about Nicholas Bloom until somebody reached out to me to try to facilitate this happening. And so I just want everybody to know. And like I said, I just know there's a ton of people in this state that have served in the military, have connections and ties. And so, yeah, I just want everybody a chance to come together if they're able to support each other and to support this family with this memorial.
That was such a devastating loss. I mean, the loss of one Marine, one soldier is devastating, but so many were lost that day, along with Nicholas Bloom. And I've met his family, incredible family and everything. And we do vet togethers there in Bozeman. But yeah, it looks like this is just going to be an incredible traveling memorial. And I mean, when I was in Butte for the traveling memorial for the Vietnam Wall Memorial, it was so powerful to see something like that back home here in Montana. I suspect this is going to be the same.
Yeah, it's something that I think when art kind of serves at its highest levels, it connects us and it brings out emotions that we struggle, you know, often in words to put forth. And you know, anybody that's been to write like the National Mall in D.C. and you know can really crack open some really powerful emotions. And I think, like I said, just a chance for us to come together and circle around and support each other. And I know there's folks out there, too, that are really having a hard time with things. And this is an opportunity to, I think, you know, grab your buddy, call your friend, look left and right and know that there's somebody. I know there's somebody out there right now. And I have a couple friends on my mind. And it's a chance to come together and know that you're not alone in this. And it is a huge thing. And also with the family, you know, a lot of people have suffered just, yeah, devastating losses and continue to see the struggles is the other thing is that I really think is powerful. And that going back to the statement of this is a traveling memorial dedicated to honoring the service and sacrifice of all who answer our nation's call. And so there's, you know, again, it's just like, I think a great opportunity for all of us to kind of come together and lock arms and recognize that we're in this together and that, you know, there's times that
that's right.
We need to help each other out. And there's times that
that's you right.
have to have the courage.
I'm out of time, but I'm out of time, unfortunately. I'm so glad that you called in the Eyes of Freedom Memorial at MSU next week, February 3rd through the 5th.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented, because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.